Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Jen Duffy, and thanks for joining us tonight for this edition of the Happy Healthy Hour. Callers can dial in to 646-716-9397 and press 1 at any time if you'd like to be on the air and placed in the queue. I'll be taking questions, comments, ideas, suggestions from the audience tonight. So today's topic is how to survive the holidays happily and healthily. The holidays are upon us with the U.S. Thanksgiving coming up next Thursday, so I'm sure many of you right now are busily planning preparations, or if you're traveling and going somewhere, getting everything all sorted out for the holiday next week. And holidays can be really stressful for a lot of people, and you know, even a source of anxiety, which is really far from the intention that of the holiday season. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about some strategies to combat that stress so that you can enjoy the holidays, you know, happily and healthily and feel mentally healthy and physically healthy throughout the holiday season and really enjoy the holidays and savor the time that you have with friends and family during this particular time of the year. And so we always start off the Happy Healthy Hour with a What We're Drinking feature. So in the festive spirit of today's discussion, I made a pomegranate punch. I'm actually trying out some variations of it for a workshop I'm going to be hosting soon. And so I wanted to test out just a few of the different ingredients to make a festive, non-alcoholic punch. This actually can be tailored to be alcoholic, but I was sampling my non-alcoholic options today. And so I played around with some pomegranate juice. They used a cup of pomegranate juice and then 2 cups sparkling cider. So the ratio of sparkling cider to pomegranate juice, 2 to 1. Because pomegranate juice can be very sweet and it actually tastes good when it's sort of mixed and diluted. I also added a cup of seltzer. You could forego the seltzer if you want it to taste more like the sparkling cider, or you could really just make it pomegranate juice and seltzer, and that would be, you know, flavorful and bubbly. I tried squeezing some orange juice, fresh orange juice from an orange, into it. Pomegranate and orange goes nice together, and orange gives you that good little punch of vitamin C. Fresh mint is an option, too. I would not do the orange juice, though, and the fresh mint. I would maybe just do the fresh mint. And then throwing in some pomegranate seeds and some lemon twists for a garnish. And so mix that all up and let that sit for a little bit. And then you have a festive punch. Now, if you wanted to make it alcoholic, you could use champagne in lieu of the sparkling cider if you wanted to serve it at a party where you wanted an alcoholic punch. But sometimes it's nice to have a festive drink as an option that is non-alcoholic for people to have that option at a party. And so, you know, there's some great health benefits of pomegranates. Generally, they're in season, you know, in the northern hemisphere, late fall and winter. And we're at a point where I think, you know, pomegranate juice is on the shelf year-round in supermarkets, but they are, fresh pomegranates tend to be much more readily available at this time of year. You know, and pomegranate juice itself can be a little pricey, so again, that's why diluting it with some seltzer water can be a good way to make it go a little bit further, particularly, you know, in terms of money and then calories, both because drinking it straight can be a little bit high in calories. So if you mix it with the mineral water or the seltzer water, it can make it go further. It's not as sweet, but you'll still get a lot of the great health benefits. Pomegranates are a good source of antioxidants, and the antioxidants in pomegranate actually include polyphenols such as tannins, so similar to kind of what you would get the benefits of drinking wine. So pomegranate juice can be good for someone who isn't drinking alcohol to get some of the benefits that red wine has been shown to have. And in fact, pomegranates may actually have more antioxidant power than cranberry juice or green tea, according to the American Institute for Cancer Research. And, you know, for other possible health benefits, the same study indicated that there are, you know, more research needs to be done to really demonstrate it, but some of the benefits that were seen in some small studies were that pomegranate juice may improve blood flow to the heart in people with coronary heart disease. Pomegranate juice may help stop plaque from building up in blood vessels. You know, and the antioxidants in the juice may help keep cholesterol in a form that's less damaging and reduce the plaque that's already been built up. according to this research. And then also pomegranate juice may even slow prostate cancer growth. Antioxidants are known to help prevent and repair DNA damage that can lead to cancer. And so, you know, all of these studies need more research and validation, but these are some findings that have been preliminary shown from the benefits of pomegranate. And so, you know, you want to make sure that the sugar content is not too high, and you want to balance that out because too much sugar is not a good thing. But pomegranate, drinking pomegranate juice can be a healthful thing, and it's very festive around this time. So hopefully you will maybe be inspired to make a pomegranate punch. So really for purposes of today's show, we're going to have one overriding mantra, and that's stress less, savor more. And really, you know, throughout the holiday season, despite all of the craziness that goes on around everyone, you know, trying to stay true to that mantra of stressing less and savoring more will hopefully allow you to, you know, experience the holidays in a way that gives you a much greater, deeper sense of appreciation for what it's meant to represent and for a time where you are spending more time with people and seeing friends and family, as opposed to everything feeling so obligatory and just one more thing on your to-do list. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm tired today, and that's just from my normal life demands, and I haven't even started really my holiday preparations yet. I know there are probably those of you out there who have all your shopping done and all your cards ready to go out the door, but, you know, that's just not me. And, you know, every year I have good intentions of trying, but every year it gets a little bit later in the season before I start. But I think, you know, that's okay. We all have a different time frame and time schedule we're working on. And so really the only thing I've done so far is planned my Thanksgiving menu, and I started strategizing about when I'm actually going to hit the food store. I'm actually thinking 6:30 a.m. tomorrow or 7 a.m. might be good, because I'm really not the most patient food shopper when you have to navigate that maze of carts and people. And so, you know, just thinking about when you're going to plan some of these obligatory holiday errands out, and being a little bit mindful of, you know, what's going to cause you less stress and aggravation can be helpful in trying to maintain that holiday spirit. And so, you know, we're going to talk about this and how really a lot of getting through anything is your attitude and your outlook. And so, you know, I personally really love the holidays and the festivities of these weeks. And when I was growing up, it was just, you know, great. I had wonderful holiday experiences. I was very fortunate, very blessed. But as I got older and life got busier, it did seem to feel more like a chore. And I think that's very natural and normal for people when you have more responsibilities, more obligations. And some of that joy of the holiday season that you have when you're younger and a child seems to go away. And it just, it's so many things to do, so busy. We already have full lives to begin with. And then when, you know, feel like you need to cram everything in 2 months, it can be quite overwhelming. And a couple years ago, I sort of had a little bit of a revelation, because I was sick of feeling like I was running around and never enjoying the holidays. And, you know, I said, I need to give up my expectations a little bit of what the holiday season is supposed to be about. And that's an important thing to think about in terms of, are you really managing and living up to other people's expectations of what your holiday should be like, or are you living up to your own expectations of what your holiday season should be like? You know, I was always feeling like I couldn't get to, you know, every party I wanted to go to see people, or every card out, or every gift purchase, and every gift being thoughtful and creative and just the perfect gift that I wanted to get for whoever I was buying it for, and everyone I wanted to see in these, you know, few short weeks between, you know, Halloween and the new year. And I just kind of scaled back on my expectations and tried to take some of that pressure off. You know, who is truly most important to me? Who do I want to make sure that I carve out the time to see? You know, and why do I feel like all of my gratitude and, you know, festivities for the whole year has to be accomplished in just 2 short months? And so trying to make what I was able to achieve and do in the holiday season count and make it memorable, and to the extent possible, really be in that moment. So when you're at one holiday gathering, you know, not thinking about the next one or what you have to do tomorrow, but just enjoying the festivities around you, or, you know, not getting so bogged down when you're doing one errand, you know, just thinking, okay, what am I going to accomplish today? What am I going to do? You know, and realize that you might not get everything done in time, and that is okay, and that it's not a race or a competition. I think, unfortunately, the commercial commercialization of the holidays really makes everyone feel like it's this competition to get the most, to get the most done, to buy the best things. And it you know, even how stores get a little crazy after Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving is meant to be a holiday of giving thanks and being appreciative, and we're all chomping at the bit to get started on our next holiday shopping. And, you know, I understand completely that, you know, people want to take advantage of sales, and it's very tempting and it's very alluring to want to, you know, get the best bargains and do all this. But it does kind of a little bit of the family time and the friend time that is a good way to maximize this time of year. And, you know, part of the reason I love the holidays so much is from my past experience of how my grandmother really poured her heart and soul into them. And, you know, I talk about my grandmother from time to time on the show, and, you know, I really wish I could tell her now how much I learned from her, you know, but of course I didn't realize it at the time. And, you know, in her own life, she had experienced a great tragedy around the holiday time, and I really believe she celebrated holidays with such, you know, so much vigor and appreciated them because it was a time to cherish those who were around her, and and it wasn't about the past or the future, but really the present of being grateful for who was around her and who she was with then and there. You know, and realize that every day is a real gift we're given. That's really the real gift of the holiday season, not the things that we're buying, but each day that we have to, you know, live our lives and be the, you know, best iteration of ourselves. And really the holidays is no better time to acknowledge that and share that with each other and focus on that, the gift of time, as opposed to the gift of things that we all have, you know, come to sort of expect and think about. And so really that's the spirit of today's show, savoring the moments that make up the holiday season and trying to find some practical ways that free up our busy minds to create the space to do just that. Because let's face it, we're all human, and most of us do live in the rat race, not a fairyland, free of obligations, responsibilities, and struggle. And so, you know, we may have the purest of intentions, but they get bogged down sometimes with just life. And so how do we work around that? How do we manage it? And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. So if you're just tuning in now, you're listening to the Happy Healthy Hour on the Life Coach Radio Network. Listeners can call in to 646-716-9397 and press 1 at any time if you'd like to be on the air and placed in the queue. I'd also urge you to check out some of the other shows on the Life Coach family of networks. Actually, in fact, one of the coaches on the network recently covered the topic of handling the holidays when you're in transition. So I would definitely encourage you to check that out if you are in some kind of transition, whether it be a new job, a breakup, different circumstances from last year, because the holidays can be tough no matter what. And then if there's some other life circumstances going on, you know, they definitely can be even more challenging. So that's a good show to check out if you're interested. And so we're talking about surviving the holidays, being focused and festive. And one of the big things around this time of year is making plans with people. And that's really a big part of the holiday season. And while it's important to be around loved ones and ones that you care about and, you know, all the different social obligations you may find yourself in, it's important not to let it drain you. You know, having strong relationships and a good social network is really beneficial to your physical health as well as your mental health. And it actually, you know, having people in your life is beneficial to your immune system. There have been studies that support the idea that people who feel connected to friends, you know, whether it's just a few friends or a large group, they have a stronger immunity than those who feel alone. And, you know, being lonely and feeling isolated can really have an impact on the health and the body. So it is important to spend time with friends and family, but also to recognize and be true to your own boundaries. So not pushing yourself too hard to accept every invitation that comes your way, you know, as long as you're politely and timely declining, you know, whatever invitation it is, and just balancing the obligatory invites with those that you really truly are looking forward to and want to attend. We all have certain obligations of, you know, whether it be a work situation or, you know, a family situation, be an in-law situation, something like that. You know, there are invitations that we will, you know, have to attend and show up, even though it's not necessarily our first choice place of where we'd want to be, but it is important to do so for the relationships in our lives. And so trying to find balance to that. And, you know, if you are in a relationship, you know, communicating that to your partner or your spouse or your significant other so that neither one of you feels like they're being dragged to things you know, not equitably. And so it's important to kind of balance that together. You know, even as far as your own entertaining goes, try not to get too carried away. You know, it's very easy to stress about your home being spotless, your food being restaurant quality, the ambiance being impeccable, but if you're so exhausted by the time your guest arrives, you're not going to enjoy their company, and you'll be counting down the minutes until you can just, you know, finish cleaning up or let it wait to the morning and crawl into your bed and you know, pass out and go to sleep. Easier said than done, yes, I know. But keeping it simpler is, you know, really just a way to kind of streamline things. You know, a year or so ago, I still remember this dinner party I went to at a friend's house, and she made the most amazing macaroni and cheese. You know, neither my husband or I have a gluten issue, so, you know, if you are cooking for people, it's always a good idea to know if they have any dietary issues ahead of time. Me and cheese don't always get along, but, you know, if I am going to indulge, this was the way to do it. She made this delicious homemade macaroni and cheese, and it was really great, high-quality cheeses, a couple different types. And it was very simple, but it was just so warm and delightful and such an indulgence that it was just perfect as the centerpiece of the dinner. And then she paired it with just a simple, fresh, green tossed salad. And it was great. We weren't stuffed. We had this, you know, lovely, delicious homemade indulgence that isn't something I'd necessarily normally eat on a normal basis. And our host didn't appear to me that she had to slave away for hours. She actually was able to prepare it. She had it baking in the oven and was able to, you know, sit down with us when we got there and relax a little before the meal and then serve it. And we all sat down together. So she wasn't, you know, tucked away slaving frenetically in the kitchen the whole time that we were there. But we actually, you know, had an opportunity to enjoy the time with her and still be really tremendously, you know, satiated with the food that she served and shared with us. And so while it's tempting sometimes to want to put out this elaborate spread and impress your friends and family, you know, trust me, I love trying out new recipes. I love putting complicated menus together at times. But if you have a lot of other things on your plate, you know, if it's too many people or just the timing isn't really allowing you to do that type of effort in a way that you do derive a sense of enjoyment from, then the streamlining of the process and finding things that are simpler, easier, better time management-wise will hopefully allow you to actually enjoy, you know, the event you're hosting more. You know, and I was saying before, the holidays can be a stressful time for couples, so it's important to communicate, like I said, about kind of the things you're going having to go to. It's also important to communicate about budget, holidays. You know, a lot of the stress around the holidays also comes from the increased cost of buying gifts and going out and doing these things. So talking about a budget and just even carving out time for yourselves and sharing time with each other during the holiday season instead of just always, you know, going in a million different directions. And, you know, even make it a time to increase your affectionate. because being affectionate can actually reduce stress hormones and, you know, give you a sense of calm. You know, when you're feeling loved and you feel secure, you do get a greater sense of peacefulness and calmness, and that has positive health benefits. But what do you do about the people who, you know, they steal your energy at these social events and these obligations that you have to go to? You know, honestly, try to avoid them if possible and politely. You know, if you know someone is going to put a damper on your festivities, try not to engage with them. Try to limit your interactions if possible, because you don't want to let somebody else's negative energy take away your positive, you know, festive energy and your ability to be joyful and be present. And so, you know, being aware of those energy stealers and, you know, finding a way to, you know, put up some barriers so you don't find yourself in uncomfortable situations with people who are going to put you in, you know, a down mood. You know, and I know that that's not always possible, you know, particularly if it's family even, you know, but carve out time with and carve out time without, and make sure that, you know, if you have to go spend some holidays with people somewhere else and you're going to be kind of captive, so to speak, that you do find some healthy time for yourself away, but then spending time together, because you don't want conflict to escalate around the holidays. And unfortunately, it is a time when a lot of conflict escalates. You know, a lot of times it's people getting together that don't always see each other. There can be alcohol at play. And so trying to upfront find some some opportunities to keep the peace and being proactive about it really can, again, keep you in that moment and keep you enjoying your holiday season and not playing to the demands and expectations of other people. That, you know, the other people that aren't those that are, you know, most special to you or that give you the most satisfaction from having them in your life and spending time with them. You know, and so there's going to be a lot of time with people, and then you should also find some time for smaller, intimate settings, you know, if it's just your immediate family, you know, if you have children or, you know, making sure that you're getting time for those core people in your life. And one great way to do that is to take part, you know, in winter activities. So, you know, trying to get outside, you know, go ice skating. If you live somewhere where it's snowy, some of those sledding and snowshoeing activities, you know, just to take a little break from things or even make it a holiday outing. And it's great because you're burning calories, you're outside, you're exercising, but you really, there are just some benefits that you can get from fresh air that you just can't get from doing exercise inside and in the gym. You know, as long as you're appropriately clothed and dressed and ready for the weather, doing outdoor winter activities can really be invigorating and kind of counteract and balance some of the stress and fatigue that the season can wear on you. And, you know, to the extent you can, this is always a challenging time to try to fit in going to the gym, but if you are in a habit of going to the gym somewhat regularly or very regularly, this is the time where it's really easy to try to find extra time by slacking off on the gym workouts and cutting back on them to say, oh, well, instead of going to the gym, I will, you know, fill in the blank other errand that you feel compelled to do related to the holidays. But exercise is such a good form of stress relief that to the extent you cannot do that and find time elsewhere, it would be a good idea to try and keep your regular workouts in. Especially a lot of times people are prone to getting sick around this time of year too, burning the candle at both ends, not getting enough sleep. And so trying to keep up somewhat with regular exercise will help you combat the holidays a little bit saner and less stressed. And also to try and offset some of the holiday eating. But, you know, don't try to think that you're going to add tons of workouts now, you know, to unrealistic levels. I mean, that might be tempting, but again, be mindful and realistic about the time you do have. And so, you know, we'll talk a little bit later in the show about talking about holiday eating, you know, but if you think, well, I'm just going to eat a whole bunch of stuff and then I'll just burn it off in the gym the next day, I'll double my workouts, that might not necessarily be the most realistic thing. I don't know. It could work for you, but this is a time shortage season, you know, of the year anyway, so setting some realistic goals and expectations will help you from feeling sort of like you just, you know, can't get everything done and that you're disappointing yourself. And so focusing on, you know, sustainable fitness goals, keeping a sort of a steady level during the holiday season. And, you know, if you are trying to get extra calorie burn to your regular workouts, you know, try adding some high-intensity training or doing intervals. Like, look for workouts that are really going to maximize the time that you do have to work out. Or even consider doing a group fitness activity. You know, if you were going to make plans to see a bunch of your friends or a family member at this time of year, if they are, you know, fitness-minded or health-minded as well, you might consider saying, well, in lieu of the dinner we were going to have or in lieu of the drinks we were going to go get, you know, maybe let's go take a yoga class together or let's go for, you know, a walk through the park. Let's go get coffee and we'll walk through a park together to try and incorporate some level of movement into whatever outing you were planning or suggesting. So that way you're kind of accomplishing two things at once. And so you still get some people time, but then you also get that exercise in, which is so good to keeping us all sane and healthy. You know, and also make some time for lack of a better word, more traditional activities, you know, whatever that tradition for you might be. So, you know, maybe it's a tree lighting or a particular holiday play or show. You know, see what's playing locally, you know, your community performances. And, you know, it's nice to go and enjoy a little bit of a cultural outing. And even though you may feel that's 2 hours' time that would have been better spent cooking or shopping or doing writing cards, you know, allow yourself to be in the holiday spirit. And if there's something that you particularly like, try to make it maybe an annual tradition that you go to. And that helps to commemorate the season and remember, oh, you know, this year we do this tree lighting, we did it last year, and that becomes your annual tradition. And those sort of traditions make up kind of the fabric of our lives and our memories and our, you know, our relationships. And the holidays is a great time to have something like that. You know, and it's also great to try and see some of these performances or these events, you know, through the eyes of children. And so if there are some, you know, children in your life, whether they're your own or you have nieces and nephews, you know, taking them on a special holiday outing can help boost your own feelings for the season and for the spirit. But just, you know, planning ahead to make sure it's, you know, appropriate for children, and just thinking through scheduling with respect to naps and snacks and the duration of time, because, you know, crowds and long performances really can be a bit much for younger children. So, you know, more the advice if you are borrowing somebody kids than if you have your own, because it's likely something you've experienced before. But just for those who are excited about the prospect of, you know, taking their young cousin or niece or nephew, be prepared. And this really can just, you know, be good for your mental health and your mood. And again, being in the moment, enjoying the performance. And then when it's over, then you can get back to your lists and your errands and what have you. But appreciating the entertainment while you're experiencing it. So another giant fun topic is gifting and spending. And this really can be a big source of stress for people. And as we know, stress is not so good for your health. And so, you know, overspending and going outside your means is only going to cause more concern and worry. And, you know, particularly the, you know, economy is not great. A lot of people are struggling. There are a lot of people out of work. And so being aware of, you're not always certain of what somebody's circumstances are, and, you know, not wanting to put people in uncomfortable positions. But at the same time, we all know that giving gifts is often a source of pleasure. You know, you want to give gifts to people often to show them your gratitude or your thankfulness of them being in your life. And it, making another person happy often makes you happy. So, you know, the whole notion of giving a gift isn't, you know, a terrible thing. It's quite opposite. It's a wonderful thing. It's just when giving someone a gift stresses you out and has a negative impact on you and your health because you, you know, feel compelled to, you know, spend a certain amount of money or get a certain gift, you know, that's not healthy. And you might want to consider, instead of material gifts, experience gifts. You know, people are happier when they have life experiences instead of receiving material items, which a lot of, you know, studies and experts have said. And I think even in your own experiences, you may sort of remember a certain thing you did with someone versus a certain thing they bought you. You know, I can remember trips from many, many years ago, but I don't always know what a particular gift of a time I received. And so thinking about some of these experiences, you know, they can, even experiences can range in value. So, I mean, an experience could be an expensive thing if you have a bigger budget and you want to do it, or an experience can be free. And, you know, some of that really is just priceless to plan an event or an experience or something that you can gift to someone, and then you get the gift of spending the time with them. You know, and just making sure, though, that it's less of a gift that's just about you, though, and it's a gift that you generally feel like they would appreciate and want, not just a thinly veiled opportunity for you to go do something you want to do and make it seem like a gift. So that is one pitfall of an experience gift, is that making sure, you know, it actually is a gift to the other person. And so if you're heading out to go to the stores to go do your holiday shopping, you know, making a list and really kind of having a game plan will help alleviate some of the stress, as well as, you know, setting a spending limit for each person. You might even want to try making that list of needed gifts and then see if you compare it down a little bit. I know a lot of times people feel obligated to buy gifts, and, you know, the other person might not even be expecting them. And while it's nice and well-intentioned, you know, if you are trying to save, or you are trying to be, you know, more responsible and fiscally minded about some of the goals you have in your life that you need to be buying or spending money on, then, you know, is that may seem like a small trade-off, but in the end, it might really add up. So trying to be a little bit more selective about the gift giving that you're embarking on, and understanding the reasons for why, and is it in line with your budget and what's, you know, comfortable for you to do, and that you're not overextending yourself and then having additional stress and anxiety that piles up. You know, and even discussing with friends and family where you have an appropriate relationship to do so, to see if you can agree not to exchange gifts, you know, and do alternative things in lieu of that. Because I know a lot of people feel sometimes like, well, I don't even know what to buy for this person. And they buy something that, you know, it's more of a token. And while it may be, you know, it is appreciated generally, is it something that the person really needed? Is it something that you really need to buy on? And they probably, you know, would be fine without it. And they maybe don't even want, you know, there might be that sort of back and forth, you know, well, I better get the gift because this person's going to give me something. And so having a conversation, let's agree to not exchange gifts. We all have, you know, adequate, what we have in our lives is adequate, and we don't really need another thing. And so maybe let's do an experience thing. Let's go somewhere and do something, or just forego the gift giving, you know, it's just, we don't need to do it. I know in my own family, we have a rule that under 18, there are gifts exchanged for the children. And then once you're over 18, we do a gift grab bag. And so it's so much easier. It's so much less financially draining. And it's really fun. Everyone has the best time doing it. And it's almost a rite of passage sometimes for people who are thinking of entering our family because it gets kind of heated and very feisty. And so for people who are new to the family, it is always a little bit of a experience to see how they weather the grab bag gift exchange. But, you know, there are a lot of alternative ways to handle some of the gift buying for other adults in your life. And it's if you don't already do that already, it might be worth considering that and bringing that up. And try to do as much of your shopping online as possible. We all know the stores can just be pretty crazy and hectic. So if you're able to do some stuff online, that will hopefully alleviate your running around. And really, you know, don't put too much pressure and stress on yourself that it has to be the perfect gift. It really is about the thought. And, you know, if you have a generally good relationship with the other person, they're not going to stop being your friend or your family member because one year you didn't get exactly what they wanted. Yes, we, you know, as I said before, it really is a great feeling to make someone, you know, happy and get something that's creative and thoughtful and unique and that they're really, you know, puts a smile on somebody else's face. But if that person really cares about you, they wouldn't want you to be, you know, exhausting yourself and stressing yourself about it. So, you know, do your brainstorming and, you know, cut yourself some slack. Don't hold such high expectations to yourself all the time, you know, and just, you know, feel good about what you got. And remember that it's the thought, it's the idea that you wanted to share something with this other person. And again, another easier said than done thing is to try and keep a good attitude when you're doing your holiday errands and to smile and not get so, you know, agitated with everyone that's out there. I mean, I really like this one particular TJ Maxx store, and it gets really crazy, but they have such great things. So I've gotten gifts there before, but, I mean, honestly, I've seen people come to near, like, physical fights over, you know, the last cashmere sweater that's, you know, deeply discounted. I mean, it's great, but is it really worth, you know, coming to blows with each other? And so smile, you know, that kind of attitude really can be contagious, you know, and the people who are working, you know, long, late hours during the holiday times, it's crazy. And, you know, being nice and courteous to them and, you know, smiling. I had a job once where I did gift wrap and I was the world's worst gift wrap. And I could see the agitation in people's faces when I wasn't wrapping their gifts fast enough. But I would just smile and, you know, say, I hope you have a wonderful holiday. You know, and often, more often than not, they would actually kind of soften and smile back and then accept their slightly poorly wrapped gift that they waited too long for anyway and probably ended up going to rewrap it when they got home. So needless to say, I didn't have an illustrious career in gift wrapping. But in the end, it was a good learning experience for how, you know, seeing how crazy it can get and recognizing that, you know, when you're working during this time period, it is definitely stressful as well. So being a stressed out shopper, also realize that there are stressed out people who are working in the stores too. And so if you are thinking of just maybe alleviating all of this buying, you can always choose a charity gift. I mean, that's another good way to avoid, you know, hours of shopping and give charity gift cards to friends and family or make a donation to a charity if you know that they support a particular charity. The website Just Give allows recipients to donate the money to a nonprofit of their choice if you're not sure of a particular cause. And, you know, you're helping someone else and you're, you know, doing something that will actually give you both a good sense of satisfaction, of feeling good, particularly if you know this person maybe doesn't really need anything, but you do want to get them a gift. And when you're writing your holiday cards, take the time to not maybe do as many and do as many impersonal, you know, cards that you just get out, but try to pare down the list maybe a little bit and use them as opportunities to really tell the people in your life how you feel about them. You know, we all are so busy throughout the year that it would be nice to actually take the opportunity of the holidays to recognize those really important people in our life and to tell them, because we don't often get a chance to tell people. And, you know, sometimes you wish there are things you've said, could have said to people that you didn't get a chance to. And so make the holidays that time and, you know, write in those cards, you know, how special the person is and how special they are and to you. And in a lot of ways, that's better than any gift that you could give, is to, you know, telling someone how you feel about them and letting them know how special they are to you. And there's always the option of homemade gifts too. I really like homemade food gifts, but not necessarily ones that, you know, have to be consumed immediately. Bon Appetit magazine last year had a few great recipes that I've pulled and I'm going back to again this year. And one was for these really delicious marinated olives that you could then put in jars and, you know, put a note to. And those, you know, the person can have for a little while in their refrigerator. And then also a dark chocolate almond sea salt bark, which was really pretty easy to make and then just break, and you could put that in a nice gift box. And again, that doesn't have to be consumed immediately. You do have a little bit of time with that. But in that way, you know, it's kind of the thought that counts again, that you took the time to make something. And I know I have some friends who make incredible homemade gifts, and I know they slave away and spend hours, and that, you know, they enjoy doing it. And so that's always, you know, an option if that's something that you enjoy. But doing some homemade gifts doesn't have to be a completely, you know, time-consuming thing. There are some options out there to do things pretty easily, quickly, painlessly, that you can share your sentiment with someone, but you don't have to spend a lot of money, and but still get them something. And even when it comes to decorating, like, I love decorations, holiday decorations. Like, I love the way our apartment looks at Christmas time, and I'm always sad when I have to put them away. But, you know, we try to use the same holiday decorations from year to year and recycle the holiday decorations and not get too carried away each year buying new ones. And, you know, use fresh items where and when possible. So, you know, some plants or some flowers, because there's something like, you know, greenery to kind of give something to the ambience, to the atmosphere. You know, it is a simple bouquet sometimes, you know, set on a table, can really just freshen up the place and really put things in a festive feeling. You know, but definitely around this time of year, I know that a lot of the plants that are holiday specific can be dangerous to children and pets. So when you're bringing new plants or things into the home around this time of year, definitely make sure that it's safe for your pets and children, where they are and the supervision level, because that's really not the way to have a happy, healthy holiday if there is some sort of issue related to, you know, flowers and plants that you're bringing into your home that are not normally there. And if you do celebrate Christmas and put up a tree, it actually can be really fun to go and cut down your own tree. If not cut it down, but go somewhere where, you know, the trees are. Actually, I don't know if they have farms where you take your own axe or whatever and chop them down, but we went to a great farm out on the North Fork of Long Island in Cutshog called Santa's Tree Farm, and you got to pick your tree out and then walk around the field, and then they, you know, chopped it and bagged it for you. And it was just, it just put you in such a great festive mood and made the whole getting the tree thing kind of, you know, an outing, an experience, and so contributed to the sort of the overall holiday season, and you know, as opposed to just grabbing one, you know, somewhere. If you have the time and if you have, you know, the ability to go and drive it somewhere further away and get your tree. It's definitely a fun thing to do. And, you know, just sitting by a fire and listening to the sounds of the fire and tuning out other distractions. You know, I think there's so many great things around the winter time and the holiday time or the holiday season, and just kind of savoring them. So, you know, once your decorations are up, just taking a moment and soaking it all in, and just enjoying the work and the love that went into decorating and putting things up. And again, not having to feel like you have to get carried away, but just things are important for you. You know, I know various people who have their holiday decorations that maybe someone in their family had made for them or that they have from someone who's now passed away. And so those things are really cherished and sentimental. And so enjoying the special time of year where you get to put them out and put them on display and showcase them and, you know, the wonderful story that's behind them. And even if you don't have, you know, items like that, starting new traditions and buying things that you or making things that you will have from year to year and their story that you created behind them. Another way around the holidays to really feel in the spirit and not get overwhelmed is to do things for others, you know, and realizing that it's not all about you and it's not all about, you know, those just in your immediate life that you need to get things for or do things for. But, you know, whether you do it with your time or your money, it's just, it's really a good thing. You know, people like to volunteer or like to do things for other people because it helps the people, but it also does, you know, there have been studies that have shown this, that it helps you feel good. Doing good makes you feel good. And I personally don't think more people doing good, feeling good, is a bad thing, because I think it's, you know, a win-win. If we all sort of cultivated more of this attitude of, you know, community-mindedness and doing things for others, I think it would definitely be a place in a world that I would like to live in. I don't know about others, but, you know, the holiday time is really a great time to do that. And I actually recall a very good friend, she and I started last year doing this, and I'm hoping we'll do it again, but the post office has a letters to Santa program. And so we went and read the letters, and then we bought some gifts and wrapped them and then brought them back to the post office, and they will deliver them. And so it was just really fun. That was sort of our holiday get together, the two of us doing this on an evening after work, and it was great. We got to spend time together. We got to do something for others, and you know, we want to do it again this year because it was kind of a nice little interlude to the, you know, going out to dinners or the parties and or shopping for other people who likely already may have, you know, more than they need, and so it was nice to take a break from that to do this together. And really, you know, the best way for surviving this season and not feeling stressed and crazy is to think about how you can manage your time as best you can, because time is really the one thing that we all feel is so scarce. And so how you choose to spend your time and how you choose to manage it really will dictate how much enjoyment you'll be able to get out of the season. And, you know, one thing to think about is if you have vacation time available to you from work, taking a vacation day during the holiday season that you designate as your sort of holiday prep day. So instead of trying to drag it out, obviously you might not be able to get everything done in a day, but if you do have, you know, any available vacation time to do this and take a day, and, you know, if it's not too busy of a time, you know, certain industries and occupations, this is the busiest time for them. But if you are on the other side of things where it isn't as busy, you might want to use the vacation day as sort of your prep get ready day, because then you can have that carved out time set aside. You know, the stores and such will be less busy, because if it's an off time when, you know, not as many people are forced to do their sort of errands running around, you know, after work hours, if for those who sort of have a more 9-to-5 schedule, or on the weekends when, again, some more people do tend to be off. So if you can try and do, you know, a designated chunk of time, then you might be able to have to try and squeeze things in less on the evenings and the weekends, so you constantly feel like you're rushing from work, rushing to the stores, rushing home, you know, giving up a Saturday or a Sunday or both days to run around during the day and take care of things, and then if you have, you know, social commitments in the evening. And, you know, that might help. But, you know, there's also, there's, you know, no harm in doing some of those evenings, but trying to be strategic about how many times you do that. So, you know, if you have to keep going back every night after work, or you're trying to, you know, squeeze in too many short trips and they're not really so productive, that's just going to deplete your energy and make you feel, you know, less in the mood if you keep going to, you know, the same places and running around and dealing with crowds and parking lots, things like that. So trying to kind of carve out specific time to get certain errands done and be, you know, as efficient as possible and not having to do too many, you know, redundancies or duplicative tasks and activities. And, you know, I would encourage you as well to try and find, you know, one Saturday or Sunday that it is not an errand day, that is completely devoid of all errands, and it's more of a family outing day, or, you know, a day for yourself if you're, you know, if you're single and you're running around doing things for a lot of other people and you just really want a day to yourself, or if you, you know, do have a family and you can switch it out so that maybe your spouse or a family member can take care of your kids, and if you just want to have a little pampering time set aside, you know, it seems selfish, but if you're taking care of yourself and you feel that, you know, you're relaxed and, you know, in good health and good spirits, you will be a better, you know, wife, sister, brother, spouse, whatever, what have you, if you also feel like you have, you know, your time for yourself to do the things you need to do and feel sort of, you know, not as drained and not as crazed. And so it doesn't have to be a long increment of time, but it's not selfish to find some time where and when you can find it for yourself. It helps to keep you healthier, and when you're healthier, you're happier and more pleasurable to be around for the most part. And so, you know, another thing that's challenging during this time of year but is still very important is sleep and getting that 7.5 hours of sleep, you know, roughly. We talked about it on the show last time about how sleep is so important, trying to get that 6 to 8 hours and how that's so difficult for so many people. But it really will, you know, get the good benefits of stage 4 sleep, which is the most nourishing and restful sleep. And, you know, it'll help keep you from being sick because, again, that is a common thing during this time of year. You're running around, you're exposed to more people, more germs, burning the candle at both ends, like we said before. And so making sure you're getting proper rest to the extent you can is important. And, you know, holiday eating is always a big topic. You know, the sort of simple answer is moderation. This definitely is a time that tends to be more of an overindulgence time, but trying to be moderate about where and when you indulge is a good approach. You know, there are a lot of really wonderful holiday survival resources out there. I really like Margaret Marshall's Holiday Eating Survival Guide. She's the author of Body, Mind, and Mouth, Life's Eating Connections, and was on the show a couple months ago. And she's actually, you know, has this great survival guide that has strategies about how to navigate the season and avoid that dreaded weight gain. And she'll actually be doing a workshop at Eat, Heal, Live in Babylon, Long Island, if you are interested. That'll be on Monday night, and you can get more information about it on Facebook at the Eat, Heal, Live Facebook page. And so she'll be doing a workshop, but you can also get a copy of her Holiday Eating Survival Guide as well. And, you know, there are a lot of other options out there on the internet when it comes to specific foods to try and find ways that some of the traditional recipes can be lightened up a little bit or made a bit more healthfully, you know, magazines like Cooking Light and Eating Well. And there's just tons and tons of great food bloggers out there nowadays. So really, you know, if you put the words, you know, healthy and whatever the food dish is, you can, you know, sort through on the internet tons of recipes. I mean, the internet age has just exploded the way that you can have access to information about food and recipes. You're not just confined to buying a cookbook. I mean, there's just so much information out there. So, you know, type in healthy eggnog and you'll find ways to lighten up eggnog with soy milk or bananas or, you know, lots of different approaches to make something that's traditionally festive but, you know, high in calories and not so healthy for you more healthy. And there's, you know, you can do that with pretty much any of the items that you want. And at the end of the day, moderation and enjoy and savor those things that really are traditional for you or special to you around this time of year. You don't want to go out and start, you know, just changing all these recipes around just to make them more healthy unless you have sort of specific health concerns that you are trying to address and worry about. But again, just moderation and realizing that, you know, it's not all the time that you do this. And it's also really important to hydrate around this time of year. I know that sort of sounds like a strange little tip to throw in there, but I think in the summer people, you know they're sweating, it's hot out, they tend to drink more water. And in the winter, it's really dry, it can be dry inside, and it's a lot easier to get dehydrated even though you might not think it or feel it. And when you're hydrated, you're less prone to feeling stressed or anxious. And also if you're, you know, a lot of the holiday foods can be have a higher salt content maybe than what you're used to, or if you're drinking alcohol. So hydrate. And really savor the seasonal items. You know, warm beverages can actually really put you in a good mood. You know, actually there's a part of the brain that connects warm hands to warming hearts, and that can help process both sort of the physical temperature and the emotions. And there's a reason why, you know, I think there was a soup commercial from years ago where you see, you know, a small child and a grown-up sort of savoring this bowl of soup together after playing outside. And that image just sticks in my head when I think about, you know, the winter and the holiday season and, you know, having some cocoa while you decorate, or, you know, drinking some spiced cider around this time of year. So, you know, those warm holiday beverages can be beneficial to helping you savor the spirit of the season. And, you know, a lot of people are traveling this time of year. We mentioned that earlier. And so it is really important to keep your immunity up. You know, drinking teas and things can help with that. You know, there's nothing more stressful than, you know, being sick around this time of year and you're trying to do all these things, but you feel terrible and, you know, you don't want to risk getting other people sick. So if you do get sick, try to, you know, cut it off at the pass and, you know, drink your hot tea, try to get the rest, stay away from people until you are sure you're not potentially getting other people sick. And make sure you're getting, you know, enough fruits and vegetables in your diet, you're getting sleep, washing your hands, you know, I've heard experts say 10 times a day, and then hot water, soap with soap, you know, singing the happy birthday song. But really, good hand washing is important this time of year, especially if you're going to parties and shaking hands or, you know, touching things that a lot of other people have touched. And if you are traveling, you know, it's a good idea to pack healthy snacks if you're going to be on the road and you're not sure about what you're going to have at your disposal. You really don't want to, I would think you wouldn't want to waste your indulgence on something from, you know, a roadside stop when you know you're going to grandma's house and she makes the best, you know, cheesecake imaginable. So if you're going to indulge, you know, go for the really, you know, things that you really, really are craving and special to you this time of year. And if you are going to be on a plane or a long car ride and you're sharing the driving with someone else, you know, bring comfy clothes so if you can rest a little bit, catch some Z's, knowing that wherever you get to where you're going could be, you know, a little draining. And so trying to keep your energy stores, you know, in good form and not you're not constantly depleting your energy, which is going to make you feel more stressed and potentially get you sick. And even start thinking ahead about planning into January. You know, studies have shown that, you know, the anticipation of good things to come really helps people, and that you can kind of, you know, stay positive on just good anticipations for a while. So that feeling you get when you know you might have a vacation coming up, you know, and you have it planned, it's on the calendar. And so, you know, think about extending some of your holiday gatherings, you know, spreading it out even into January once those sort of January doldrums come. So if you want to plan an outing with someone and you can't find a date in November, December, put it on the calendar for January or even early February. It'll give you something fun to look forward to. It'll alleviate stress on both of your sides of feeling, you know, got to pack everything in, cram it in. And, you know, even consider as part of your maybe your experience gift or, you know, planning a trip in the new year. And once you have something like that to look forward to, and you can savor that anticipation in addition to being festive, it sort of extends the good feelings and the positivity that this season really can and should be all about and can bring. So, you know, at the end of the day, when all else fails, just breathe. No, it is important when you're running around and crazy to, you know, take deep breaths and to just take a step back, take a moment, and make sure you're breathing. There's an earlier show we did on, you know, cultivating a meditation practice, if it's something that you haven't done before, and I would encourage you to check that one out, because now is as good a time as any to, you know, maybe infuse some meditation, daily meditation in your life. And, you know, there's a lot of discourse now about mindfulness and thankfulness, as we should going into this holiday season, and taking time to kind of let that soak in through meditation or through just taking some quiet time to reflect on what the good that is in your life. We all have a lot of good. We all have bad, some of us more than others. But when you focus on the good, it's a lot easier to be a positive, joyful person than when you focus on the bad and dwell on the negative. So focusing on the good and being thankful for what you do have in our lives. We all have at least one thing in our lives to be thankful and grateful for. And most importantly is, you know, each breath we take. But, you know, focusing in your attitude and your outlook will really help shape your happiness, and, you know, it can be an amazing determining factor on your health even, your ability to be positive and, you know, forge ahead and have a healthy, happy outlook on your life and what you want to be achieving and fulfilling and accomplishing. And when you look at the holiday season, realizing it's an opportunity for you and your family and your friends, and don't get bogged down with the expectations that society or others put on you. Like I said before, it's not a race. It's not a competition. It's all about, you know, you and those that you care about, and, you know, making the most of the time that you do have together. So I hope you found today's show, you know, interesting and inspiring to sort of celebrate the holidays, whichever holidays you celebrate, to the fullest, while also keeping your mental and physical health in good shape. As always, you can contact me with any questions, jenniferfduffy@gmail.com, and you can give feedback at www.blogtalkradio.com/Life Coach Radio Network. You can click the follow button and send us a message. I hope you'll check out Monday's show, which is Spiritually Speaking with Rev Jen at 8 p.m. Eastern, and on Tuesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, Fun to Fortune Entrepreneurial Success. So that's it for today. I'm wishing everyone a very happy, healthy weekend, and also a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday for those of our U.S. listeners that celebrate, and just a wonderful season for all as we sort of wind down 2013 and head into the new year. Take care.